certain size and a thousand opportunities before you. I mean, how, as somebody trying to make, you know, time, stroke, cost, stroke, revenue efficient decisions, do you look at this new world and decide where you're going to put your efforts?
Well, you know, it all
in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it all has to get done. You know, our greatest day-to-day challenge is that video on demand now is very quickly becoming television. And so when you look at a company like Netflix, and Netflix is now also becoming its own kind of cable network with cable carriage, every conversation with that we have with a television network about one of our new series, they want SVOD rights. And we've always computed those into our projections as being a separate revenue source. So I would say our greatest day-to-day challenge is windowing these various VOD platforms, and you know, and so that we can maximize both our revenue and our exposure.
And do you find the I mean, the process of accounting all this stuff? I mean, is that something that worries you? Does this feel like the Wild West? Do you feel like, I mean, have you got sort of, you know, repo men out there sort of collecting your dimes from every part? I mean, how does that practically work for you guys? Is that feeling like a sort of settled and reliable thing, or?
Well, you know, right now, there are not a large number of VOD platforms that are really paying us those big bucks. I mean, it's, you know who they are. It's Blinkbox and Amazon and Hulu and Netflix. So right now we really can wrap our hands around that. And you know, where it could have gotten crazy is in TVOD, every cable company or every internet company in the world using our content on demand, but consumers don't really use the content that much. So it is something that we really can wrap our hands around. We are really only focused on the big services. And therefore it is easy for us to manage, and we're very focused on it. And personally, my staff and I are so excited about the opportunities that we've had, and they change every 90 days about what these companies want, what their expectations are, and what their business plans are.
Okay. So Stephen, there you are sitting on Ting goggles, and I mean, again, from our conversation before this panel, you know, the number of devices, the number of deals that you guys are doing, I mean, that's a thrilling time. But I still want you to talk about the challenge. So as a platform, you know, looking to become the future of kids' entertainment, I imagine, just describe to the people, because some of the people in this room are producers who would love to get, you know, to understand better how to get their content onto your platform and make a success of that. Some of them are distribution companies, and some of them will be broadcasters and platforms thinking, what's happening? So could you just talk a little bit about the challenges from your perspective?
I think one of the top challenges from our perspective is actually standing out from the pack. I mean, I think as Jesse stated, Richard, the Netflix, the Hulus, the Amazons, those are the channels that are more well known. Those are the ones that are spending big dollars on licenses. And for us to stand out, we have to have something that is unique to us. So I think that our primary focus has been, like I said, more on our software, on our user experience, or you know, our user interface, kind of really tailoring our service to children, making sure that it's safe but also fun for our users as well. So I think that that's been our primary challenge, is standing out. So you know, standing out from the pack. And one of the things that we've done to ensure that we stand out is we've become, in a sense, one of the only options on children's tablets and smartphones for that are being promoted to children. So when you look at the majority of children's tablets that are on the market right now, from the Oregon Scientific Meat to the Curio 7 to the new Samsung children's tablet, Tune Goggles is either preloaded or promoted as a premium service on that device, where Netflix and Amazon and, you know, services like that can't be right now, just because of the fact that that's not really their core market. So for anybody who wants visibility on those devices, we are pretty much the premier option right now. So if you're looking to also get involved with devices like that, with other things such as games or ebooks, we are a good pass-through to work on those devices, and we can give a lot of visibility amongst those devices. So that's how we've kind of separated ourselves from the pack in terms of how we market ourselves and who our core audience is, and knowing our core audience very well.
And I mean, obviously you are, I mean, I was at a conference in LA about 4 months ago, it's called Stream, where, you know, it seemed to me the big debate was between curation and open access. So YouTube, obviously anyone can upload a video to YouTube, yes. There's some terrifying statistic about 7 days of video a day or an hour, or, you know, mind-boggling numbers of hours and minutes being uploaded. And then, you know, versus the Yahoos and the, you know, and the AOLs, which are, no, we know best, we're going to curate, etc. And I think you guys, I mean, I suppose it's an easier argument to make for kids, but you've gone down the route of curation rather than the open source, haven't
yes.
you? Do you see that as being, in terms of creating a point of difference, or, I mean, are you not just replicating all the problems that I'll be annoying here, but are you not sort of replicating the problems that every TV channel has in that, you know, they're sitting around making, I mean, I was in that chair, you're sitting around making a few bets a year, you're hoping that you know best, and then the kids go, "Oops, all right."
Not so much. I think because of the fact that, you know, we are more open. I mean, we're not as open as a YouTube, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, our curation is not the same type of curation that, let's say, a Netflix would have in terms of looking out for, you know, the Jim Hensons of the world. We're just looking for quality content that is parent friendly. You know, that's not too racy. You know, that's for children, and, you know, there's a lot of content like that. And on our platform, we've seen, you know, some, you know, the best things rise to the top. You know, for example, you know, for no reason whatsoever, but, you know, one of our top cartoons is Bernard, which is a BRB series.
Shameless.
Yeah,
shameless.
It's just a, you know, funny coincidence, but, you know, it's a great show. And it's a great show that we're not only the only ones recognizing now, but we were just in Berlin at IFA and noticed Bernard being promoted on a number of other devices. So, you know, they've done very well in promoting the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I honestly had no idea how big Bernard was outside of Toon Goggles, because I obviously don't live in Europe.
I seem to remember we were one of the first people to buy at the BBC, so I'll trump your shamelessness.
There you go.
Okay, so let's just talk, we've got time again, it's just horrible if you can see that clock. Let's talk about strategic responses to the challenges, okay? So again, en bref, as they say en France, Carlos, I'm going to start with you, actually. Sorry, I'll keep the order. Just as a producer, just there are the challenges, you know, fragmented market, time scale, cost, visibility, discoverability. What do you think, as a producer, what's the lowest hanging fruit for you in terms of a strategic action you would take to meet that challenge?
I think with respect to what Richard said, he's right. I mean, we try to promote video on demand with many platforms worldwide, and we also decided, and we work locally as well, and we decided after several years to just work with the big ones. But we select the best partners in every territory, so that's very important. The second thing, I think, which is a big change also, is that, you know, we spend a lot of time selling our shows to TV broadcasters. And as producers, we are doing thousands of contracts. It's like crazy, like Richard was saying, and you were saying, with the video on demand. And I believe that working on a language basis will be coming very soon. Will be probably sooner than we think. You know, working with just one platform, who will be working on Spanish speaking, another one who will be working in English speaking, French speaking, and we'll forget about selling to cable channels, free TV channels. So I think we're going into that direction. And the link to the brand, I think it's very important. What Steven and the guys are doing is, we will be more and more working into applications rather than television. I think the shows will be applications directly. That's my perspective, and that is a big challenge. It's like how to promote the brand and forget about who is having this brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Richard, your lowest hanging strategic fruit.
All right, I'm going to tell you the five things that I'm most excited about on the low-hanging fruit side. First of all, I had a religious experience in my living room a couple months ago. Jim Henson Family TV launched on Hulu. A lot of our series are more than 5 years old. Some, like Fraggle Rock, are 30 years old. And there, next to all of our major competitors, Jim Henson Family TV, all of our series, I have a giant screen television. They look like they were produced yesterday, and now anyone can access them. And the fact that our classic library has this access now globally, and we're expanding on every platform, whether it's a Samsung TV, or on YouTube, or otherwise, and that it's us running it, us curating it, and the experts at Henson that love our content curating it, is a huge opportunity. Secondly, met with a company last week who acquired a show from somebody like my friend Carlos, and that it was a show that would never been in America before on an SVOD platform, and they said the average view of a child in 4 weeks is 20 times. That's music to our ears. Even though these are smaller platforms, the fact that they're watching it 5 times a week can build a business. Next, Reed Hastings, the head of Netflix, was on CNBC a couple of weeks ago. Reed Hastings spent 1/3 of his interview talking about how important the children's business is to Netflix. Music to our ears. It's very important for everybody here. Fourth, we are in the process of supplying at least one show to these platforms as an original show. And for the first time, the retailers and the toy companies are telling us that they can build a brand, or we can build a brand that they can sell globally as a toy line by being on these platforms. Finally, I saw a proprietary demonstration of a very large worldwide company of a new TV platform that's being started. You'll have Jim Henson Family TV will be a linear channel every day, ad-supported. If you don't want ads, you can subscribe to it. If you want to watch our entire library, you can go to the VOD section and pay to watch individually. And the curation and the interface of this service was absolutely mind-blowing, and it'll be everywhere in the world. So I think that the times that are coming up are incredibly exciting, because not only is the platform or the opportunities evening out for everybody, but it also allows to really fulfill this notion of watching whatever you want, whenever you want it, wherever you are.
Thank you. Stephen, so the lowest hanging strategic fruit in order for Team Goggles to stand out from the crowd is?
Further developing just a 360 experience with all of our properties and our partners. I think that, for us, it makes more sense for us to, as Carlos stated, to be more involved with our brands. So we have eyeballs of children that are using certain electronic devices. So it would make sense that if Toon Goggles, for example, is a streaming service on Nintendo or Xbox or Samsung TVs and tablets, that we also get involved in producing games and things like that as well, around our series. So for us, it's about stepping out from just the VOD, but taking advantage of other rights that are available and taking advantage of the eyeballs that are available to us, being that, the kids that are on these devices are also playing games, they're also reading books. So it's just getting involved in more of what they're actually doing, which makes the most sense being the content that we're playing around with.
Okay, the this horrible clock that's been oppressing me for the last half an hour has gone red now, so we're going to have to stop really. But just quickly, in 5 years' time, when we're all sitting on this podium again, no doubt, Carlos, where will we be? Where will the world be for kids' content?
I think we will be in a world, first of all, that where the storytelling will be very different in 5 years. I think we will be able to tell stories. People will be able to probably tell stories and share them, first thing. And as I said, I think we will be more linked into a language strategy instead of a per territory strategy. And the links to, I think we will, all the animation producers, we will be apps ourselves. Every show will be an app. This is my intuition, you know.
Thank you.
And working with interactive is very important, I think.
Yeah.
Gestures, voice,
right.
Those things. Yeah.
Richard?
I don't really think there'll be a distinction of different platforms.
Yeah.
I think that it's just going to be television.
Okay. Stephen?
I think that right now there's you know maybe a good 4 or 5 main SVOD platforms that are known. I think that in the next 5 years there's going to be hundreds. I think that SVOD is going to slowly replace standard linear television, and I think that there's going to pop up a number of different SVOD platforms that are going to become the new channels, and that people are going to have an option of opting into those individual channels as things move on. So, you know, the same way that you'll see a Netflix or a Watch ESPN or Watch Disney, I think those will become the new channels, and Toon Goggles will be amongst those channels, and I'm hoping that because of the partnerships that we've forged thus far, that we're going to continue to be dominant in that space, being that those companies have an invested interest in seeing us succeed.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to ask any of you for any questions at all, but hey. I'm very grateful to the three of you for coming and sharing your experience, and I think that, you know, pathfinding individuals and companies like yours are to the benefit of us all. So thank you all very much for coming.